Welcome back to the Anti-Diet Club podcast. We have an amazing guest for you today. We have Pam Luck joining us. She is the founder of Ember and Ace, a line of athletic clothing, especially for plus size children. And she's created this from her own experiences growing up and being really into sports, but having to step aside from those sports and not like enjoy those sports because growing up as a plus size kid, those clothing sizes just ran out very quickly. And the options became things like going into the men's department and, you know, finding other clothes that to accommodate, but didn't feel very inclusive. So we were so excited to have her on the podcast and join us to talk about all of that stuff. She was a great guest and so interesting to hear about her experiences with her own child and also setting up a business in a field that she wasn't experienced in.
At the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it sounds like it's been such a big learning curve for her, entering into having her own business and learning about manufacturing and, you know, like sports apparel and all of this, and how to bring these products to market is kind of really awe-inspiring. But also, it's her activism that's so impressive, right? Cause behind this, she has such a lot to say around the inclusivity of all kinds of clothing and uniforms that we hit on as well during our conversation, and really what that does to kids' self-esteem and the dropout rates that we see when it comes to sports and other activities. So it's just such a important cause, and like that corner that she's fighting for kids and you know, we say plus size, but like, I mean, when I couldn't believe until you told me that there's not really any plus size clothing for kids in the UK, and I know a lot of our listeners are in the States, but when you think about that, you think, what messages are we sending? You know, if you're, you know, and even the what we call quote unquote standard size clothing for kids is actually really for the kind of average to smaller end of the scale. They don't actually even accommodate kids slightly, even just marginally further along the weight or size spectrum, right? So I'm surprised that such a thing doesn't exist already. As Pam says, it's been 30 years since her experience. So I'm really excited about what she's bringing to market. I'm excited about the conversation that we had. And I think for our listeners who are parents or maybe teachers or work with young people in any kind of way, this is going to be a really interesting and enlightening conversation, hopefully. So
definitely
excited.
Let's not keep you in suspense. We'll go straight to the show.
Welcome back to the Anti-Diet Club podcast. We are super, super psyched today to have Pam Luck join us. I have a confession to make, Pam. I came across you on the Burnt Toast podcast by Virginia Soul Smith, and I'm not sure if we have really ever mentioned Virginia's work on this podcast. So we should shout out to anyone who's raising kids in diet culture, as we all are. She is the person to go to. So that's how we came across you. And we're super happy to have you here and for you to be chatting about your company. So I'm going to hand over to you. And if you wouldn't mind just telling us in your words who you are and what you do.
Of course. And I'm so excited to be here. So thank you. As you said, my name is Pam Luck. I have a company that I founded called Ember and Ace, and it's athletic wear exclusively for plus size kids. It just launched. I decided to start right before the pandemic, so that was a great idea. So it's been a series of starts and stops and supply chain challenges and what have you, but I've developed a 5-piece collection that I'm picking up the first production run of tomorrow.
Exciting.
So it's very exciting and terrifying all at the same time,
but
so it's athletic wear for plus size kids because I grew up plus size. I think you can look at pictures of me from like age 5 and already see it, so all right, it's coming. And then by the time I got to like 10 and early puberty, it's like, yep, there it is. So I've been plus size my whole life, and I played soccer AKA football for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I danced. And by the time I got to high school, I was struggling to find clothing that fit. I was the goalkeeper. So I remember having to walk to the men's section at the sporting goods store to find something that fit or sort of fit, right? Never really fit right in the chest. You have to do that, like tuck your arms in and stretch it out.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible thing as a 17-year-old girl to sort of have that feeling. And so now I have an almost 14-year-old daughter, my goodness. And she dances. And we're sizing at a dancewear. And I'm like, it's been 30 years plus since I was in high school. How is this still a problem?
How are we still dealing with this? And did it have an impact on your like ability to carry on with sports? Did you kind of push through it, or were there things you kind of dropped out of because of it?
I quit soccer after high school. Didn't try to play after that point. No rec leagues, none of that. And for dance, interestingly enough, I stopped tap, jazz, and ballet. But I started actually taking African dance in college, which is a lovely art form. And it sort of reignited my love of dance. Cause I will say, you know, having challenges with finding dancewear and feeling like you don't belong in dance class steals your joy a little bit if you let it. And I let it.
Yeah.
I let it steal my joy.
Yeah. But you know, I'm thinking of you as that, you know, a young person at that age. How many role models were there of like plus size dancers, right? Or you know, plus size soccer players? I mean, they're all, especially professionals, right? They're all very very lean, and I think that's just what we're told. That's what we're shown. There doesn't, you know, why would you have sort of tried to blaze that trail?
Exactly. And I think, you know, we're all trying to figure out who we are at that age. And it's hard to sort of, I don't think anyone at 17 wants to stand out. That's not what you get up in the morning and decide, hey, you know, let me be the one. So I did do African dance through college and I loved it. And it's just one of the art forms that sort of didn't matter the size of my body. So, but to your point, I didn't ever play soccer ever again. And then after college, I haven't really danced much. And it's just sort of this thing that, and now, you know, as an adult, I could join a rec league as an adult, but I think it's still like, how are people going to view me? What am I going to be able to wear? And there's just all this stuff that you sort of carry and you're like, that's just too much. I'm going to walk.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Doesn't require anything complicated.
And I see, you know, in my activities, I see the same thing with swimming, right? So in in Scotland, when you swim outside, we call it wild swimming because it's so cold. But it's the same with that, right? Trying to find wetsuits and swimwear in bigger sizes, because the assumption is if you're a big person, you're not putting on a swimsuit. You're not trying to fit into a wetsuit. So, and it does astound me. How are we still coming up against these barriers? The assumption that big people don't want to do any kind of movement or activities is just fat phobia all written all over it, right? This is what we're up against. I'm curious, since you've been for the last couple of years, it sounds, been sort of following this venture and trying to get it off the ground. Have you come across any sort of, you know, have those biases been confirmed to you in terms of trying to source suppliers or manufacturers or just out in the wild? Has anybody sort of, have you received any pushback at all in terms of like, well, why would you be doing this?
I think there's a couple of things. One, I found a pattern maker that I'm working really, really well with, because as you can expect with patterns, there's just certain rules that they come up to make different size patterns. Because how it works in manufacturing for apparel is you make one size pattern and you get that right. And then you do what's called grade the pattern. So then you make your bigger and smaller sizes from that single pattern. And over time, the manufacturing community has come up with rules for how they do that. They have rules for children's wear and they have rules for adult wear. And those rules don't really work for plus size kids. And I'll give you a good example. Do you know what the rise is? That's kind of the distance between like the crotch of your pants and the waistband.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Yeah. In the front. So that's called the rise.
Okay.
when you have a belly and hips,
mm-hmm.
you're going to need a different measurement and change in that mm-hmm. measurement as you move through plus sizing. And so for children's wear, they don't make a large enough adjustment. And you've probably come across this in adult mm-hmm. sizes. Oh, this isn't supposed to be low rise, but it is on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I absolutely. Can't pull it all the way up to my waist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I've had clients who've like taken bikini bottoms and switched them around, put the back to the front and the back to the front to the back, because it's like that's where you've got the extra fabric right on the mm-hmm. back, because yeah. the assumption is you have a round butt and you have a flat stomach. But actually what happens if you have the opposite? So my ingenious client just switched them around and it worked perfectly for her. Smart. But why the fuck are we having to make those adaptions, right?
Exactly. Why are we having to make we were having this conversation just before we kind of was chatting came on with you. I was chatting to Jillian about my experiences with my kids, because you know I'm trying to fit like school clothing and stuff like that for my kids, and you're right, you size up and there's like an assumption made that I'm sizing up because they're taller. And yes, they're tall, really tall, nearly, you know, they're catching up with me. I'm only 5 feet tall, so it's not hard. But when I was like putting these trousers on my son, it's like I can get, once they're on, they fit really well, but just getting around like parts of his body. And it's like this assumption that, especially with my daughter, she's nearly nine. There's this assumption that she has no curves that, right. And I'm like, yeah, they are there. They are very, very much there. And I've so I size up for her to get it to fit, but it doesn't, because the ankle holes don't get any bigger and the waist doesn't adapt for anything other than this like flat stomach with no hips. That's not how her body exists in this world. It's like, it's so frustrating, yeah. you know, to kind of keep coming up against it. This is why, like, I think when I find it hard to talk to other parents about it, because they think the answer is that I size up and it's not there. That's not an option for me.
Right. And sizing up we all learn the tricks over time, right? Sizing up is absolutely mm-hmm. one of the first things you can do. But to your point, for girls' leggings in particular, why mm-hmm. are they so narrow through the leg?
And like, skinny jeans.
And yeah. like, I'm like, these kids, and if they're also, if they're playing sports, they have athletic thighs and calves. They actually have calves that
mm-hmm.
the accommodation as
yeah.
well. So
yeah,
it's sort of reinventing in some ways how we think about proportion and size of yeah. the leggings and the leg openings. And the other thing, to your point, they always like, let's add 2 more inches to the inseam, because okay, obviously if you need to size up, they're tall. I'm like, not really.
Yeah, no.
So it's a series of trying to make these adjustments and finding a pattern maker that is like the willing to have a conversation where I say some of the standards that are used today don't work, so we're going to make some adjustments. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that. And I do think I've received messages from people who are just like, oh, just go on a diet and lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you even, these kids need to get skinny.
Mm-hmm.
So I get some of that already.
So it's this kind of philosophy of, if we shame, I mean, we see it in adults, right? If we shame kids, or shame parents, probably in this case, right? If we shame parents, then they need to kind of like hide away while they're working out and doing their diets in order to conform. Come back out once you conform and you can buy the clothes in a regular store and go about your activities. That strategy doesn't work. When we look at the statistics around Tams and I were looking at these for certainly for the UK anyway, and the drop off when kids get, especially girls, get to puberty in sports in the UK, it drops by like 65%, which is, you know, for all kinds of reasons, right? But body image is one of the most prevalent ones, right? And what contributes to body image when you know, any worse than not being able to find not just clothes, but like clothes that your kids actually want to wear as well, mm-hmm. right? I'm yeah. sure you didn't want to wear a men's t-shirt when you were
when I was a 17-year-old that identified as female. No, I did not.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I was thinking about that huge drop-off that you see in girls. And there was actually a study done that says one of the reasons kids quit is because the uniforms don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to show up and put on a uniform or a shirt and shorts that rise up and expose my belly and are uncomfortable and make me feel awkward. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, why would you? And I think the thing that's hard is it's also hard to know that, because I think a lot of kids are just going to be like, well, I'm not interested anymore when their parents ask. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to say.
Yeah. Because there's so much shame.
Yes.
And it's also, it's really hard to explain that, isn't it, as a child, that actually, like, and, you know, being comfortable and not feeling like, you know, body parts are going to be dropping out of bits of clothing or like it's kind of rubbing in the wrong way. Like, my kids are really sensitive to like seams and, you know, zips and the way things move, that really matters to them. And they just don't like it, but they can't usually say exactly what it is. They're just like, oh no, I don't really like that. And I'm like, looking at it thinking it, well, I think it fits. And there's more to it from the kid. It doesn't, you need to just physically go on and your body to be pushed into it. There needs to be more that needs to be able to flex and move, especially in sports.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of girls around that age as well are uncomfortable. Maybe this is the first time they're having to wear like a bra and a sports bra. Mm-hmm. So even if a medium fits you, you might be more comfortable in a large because you aren't looking for anything that's going to contour over your mm-hmm. body because you're mm-hmm. really just uncomfortable. And so everybody's even just sizing up anyway, because they're just sort of still coming to terms with all the changes going on.
And I remember being at school and when I started menstruating, sorry if this is too much information, audience, but I wore pads, right? Mm-hmm. Because I mm-hmm. was like afraid of like a tampon. So I wore pads. So I didn't want to wear anything like short or tight because I was convinced everyone could see it. Yeah. I was convinced. I was like, of course. Like, I mean, I was born in 78. So like these things weren't particularly like necessarily advanced at that point in time. Like, they were big and they were cumbersome and didn't come in that many different sizes. And I was like, I want the baggiest, biggest clothes. There's no way I want, like, you know. And I heard you say on Virginia's podcast how, like, particularly shorts, the size of the inseam is so much shorter for women's than men's, or girls versus
boys. Never knew that until I heard that.
It's enraging. If you go to any store, go to the boys section and pull like a size 6 or an 8 or a 10 and go to the girls sections. The boys have like 5-inch inseam, 7-inch inseam, 9-inch. The girls, 1.5, 2 inches. They're all like booty shorts.
That's crazy.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I do just want to say quickly, I know you talked about menstruation. I think we do everyone a disservice by not talking about it, because I think that's one of the other reasons that particularly girls drop off is that nobody talks about it. Do you have white uniform shorts, first of all, for your uniforms? Has anyone thought about that?
And with dance, I did ballet, tap, gymnastics as a kid. And, you know, that change for me ended a lot of things because of the unpredictability of it at that age, because it's not settled down, not like clockwork, you know, and some people's periods never are. And, you know, just having a leotard, I mean, you know, that's only going to work for me so many times out of the month. And I mean, when I was in ballet, when I was in gymnastics, it was black and like turquoise and purple. But just having that thing in the back of my mind that could make an appearance at any time with zero, you know, and there was no shorts over the top of it. It was just a leotard. That was it, you know. And as you got older, it just became kind of just, I don't know, an unbearable fear that
fear starts growing in places. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard. It's so hard. I'm really surprised, Pam, that that we're now getting to it, as you say, or you are now getting to it, starting to speak about these problems and starting to address them. And I would imagine from what you've talked about so far about these different patterns and how it works, to try and really break that mold can't have been easy. Could you speak more to the kind of process of what you have gone through to conceptualize and then also bring this collection to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll be honest, I've had sort of ideas around this for a while, but you always run up against, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a background in apparel manufacturing. I don't have a background in design. And just how do you even get started? And I'll give you another example. A lot of times when you start to make apparel, make clothing, you go to a store and you look for something that's sort of like what you want to make. So maybe you find a blouse, right? And you're like, I like this, but I want to change the colors and I want to change the sleeves, but this is the basic shape. This is how it looks. And so one of the first things I did was just try to find anything that I could reference for a size reference, for a style. And there's not much to pull from. So I'm pulling the few places that do maybe have a 2XL for kids. I'm pulling women's extra larges. I'm pulling men's extra larges. I'm pulling all these things and then trying to say, okay, well, I think use this sort of waist and this, use the men's inseam for sure on the shorts because it's longer, but trying to like, how do you guide someone to get to a starting point size? Because then you're going to make adjustments, right? You're going to go through fit samples and all of that. But I don't even have a good reference point to start from. So that was what the early days were like. It was a lot of, all right, let me see that. That's they've done. And for younger kids in this sort of age range, you don't get the hip waist ratio that you see a lot with adults, particularly women, right? Where you get that 10 inch difference between waist and hip. And that's not the only shape for plus size women, but that's how a lot of the clothing is, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to pull back from that and go, kids on the age range where I am, I'm mostly dealing with, I think, kids that, you know, 8 to 16, 8 to 17, by the time you're 17, you're probably taller and maybe can get away with the plus size adult section. But for younger kids, that hip waist ratio is much closer. Chest waist hip ratio, it's a much closer number range. So I'm not going to blow out the hip measurement. So then I'm like, let's take this sample, bring it in a little bit actually through the hip because I don't need all of that room. And then just making all of those tweaks and trying to decide when it's good enough to sort of put out in the universe and get feedback around. But I think that for me was one of the early hard parts was trying to find a good starting point.
I'm guessing you're talking about pulling from these different ranges. I'm guessing as well there's going to be inconsistency between all of them, right? Because their shoot is an adult, it's vastly different one company, one store to the next, vastly different. So did you find that that's the case in kids' clothing as well?
Absolutely. And I think it's the lack of consistency. It's across the board, to your point, children's clothes, adult clothes, all of it. So then you're also like, how do I sort of coalesce around where am I going to set my standard? And I don't want to be, you know, so I pulled size charts from like 5 different kids' clothing brands. And I'm like, okay, what is your size extra large? Because a lot of brands will have at least at a minimum hip and waist measurements, body measurements. So you can pick the right size, right? So I'm pulling 6 or 7 different size guides together. Okay, what do all of you think an extra large is for waist and hip? And then I'm like, okay, how do I feel about that? Like, part of it is you don't want to deviate too far off of the range, because I do think, at least for some things, you can consistently maybe pull an extra large for your kid and know it's probably going to work. And so I'm trying to sort of be in that range, but some of them are a little small. So I'm like, I'm going to err on the side of being a generous, if you will, sort of maybe extra large 2X or whatever. And so there are decisions that have to be made to try and sort of fall into a measurement that makes sense. And I will also say, honestly, it's part of the reason I loved starting with athletic wear, because it's a lot of stretch fabric, which is very forgiving. I'm not trying to start with like a woven, I'm not trying to get a pair of pants,
jeans,
like a school uniform pant, right?
Or yeah.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, it's no very rigid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Starting with this kind of material that you can actually work with and size and, you know, have some flexibility in it.
And you can move in it. And it was also a very conscious choice to say it's athletic wear and to focus on athletic wear. Because I think that's a label a lot of kids in bigger bodies don't ever get to have. And, you know, we can talk about labels, but I mean, to call yourself an athlete and to be able to do these things, like, I think is a hugely important piece of what I'm doing.
Because there's this huge misconception that, you know, kids in larger bodies are not moving. And that's not true at all. you know,
they move until you don't let them anymore because they can't fit the uniforms.
Exactly.
Right. They're happy to move their bodies. And, yeah. and it's at that point where things don't fit anymore that you sort of have that huge drop off. And so, you know, I think growing up, you usually come away with one of two messages: that I don't belong here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or this space isn't for me.
Yeah,
I'm not welcome here.
Because you don't see yourself represented the same way adults don't in spaces. You know, you don't see yourself represented, you know, in kids, you know, whether you're looking at like any kind of sports where the kids are successful, you like reach a point where they kind of stop being fun. And this is kind of like, I'm just speaking to this on my own experience, really, in that there were so many things I loved doing, but it stopped becoming fun. It stopped being fun because it had to get serious. Like it was like, I was either like the best or I was not going. It wasn't yeah. encouraged to just do it for the sake of it, do it for mm-hmm. the enjoyment. And I think that's the piece that's missing for me in kids, you know, sports. I'm always really nervous when my daughter wants to sign up for things, because I just think if it gets to the point where it's just only like competitions and you're only running kind of, you know, included in things when you are like really, really good at something, like we want to get spaces where children can just they don't have to be really good at it, and mm-hmm. they can be good at it if they just naturally are good at it, irrelevant of their body size. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that fun side's just taken out of it so often.
Mm-hmm. I think we absolutely have a lot of work to do around what are the goals of youth athletics and sports. Like, we really need to get some clarity around, mm-hmm. particularly like it should be about these kids being psychologically safe in a space where they can learn a sport that they love, and they can play a sport that they love, and they can learn how to be part of a team, right? And they yeah. can learn how to maybe set goals for improvement for themselves. And that's really what a lot of this needs to, like, unless you're like at an elite school and you're trying to, like, in the US get into Division I, that's a very, very yeah. small subset of kids. That's a very small subset of kids. So, you know, particularly if we're talking about recreational leagues outside of schools, but I think if you're in a school, your primary focus needs to be the safety and education of children. And why does that sort of fall by the wayside when we talk about athletics?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking as well, when you're talking about clubs and uniforms, and like, I'm thinking even down to things like, I don't know what you call them in the States. Here in the UK, we call them bibs, like training, you know, the thing that goes over your t-shirt with like,
oh, like pennies, I think we call
them.
Like the
tabard. Do you call them pinning? Yeah. Like those kind of things. I remember always feeling that they were really tight around my hips. And yeah, it's like, I'm just thinking of all the barriers and another barrier on top of that. And I should say I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine too. And you guys are talking about sizing up, and you're talking about like, you know, having to make alterations and things. What's the financial barrier as well, I'm wondering, you know, for parents in terms of, because you, Tamsin, you were talking to me earlier about, you know, with your kids, like how when you size up, which right now is your only option, because I think I'm right in saying there isn't really a plus size lines in the UK for kids. Like, that's not really a thing.
It's not a thing. I found a couple of stores when my son started school. I found a couple of stores that, because it was a shock to me, you know, I haven't done this before. It was a shock to me that I was like, oh, okay, I can't just size up. That's not working. Okay. And we're like, oh, you know, a few days away from him starting school, and like, okay, I want him to be comfortable. I want him to be in something that he can wear. And I started looking around, and I started typing in like plus size. I didn't know what I was even typing in. I was like, wait, should I type this in? Is this a thing? So I came up with like a couple of places that had it out of stock, or they come in ones, not packs. So you get like one for £10. Whereas if I was to go to the store down the road and he was able to fit into that particular size, I could get like 2-3 pairs maybe for the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. So it's like that financial impact immediately. And I don't want my son to have one pair of trousers because he's going to run around, there's going to have holes in them, you know. And it was just really, really difficult. I spent about a week, you know, longer than I thought I was going to have to, trying to find just school trousers. I mean,
It's one of the things that I wrote a blog post about it. And it's, if you're doing athletics or you're looking for school uniforms, you have to start early.
Yeah, like a lot earlier than
so
I did.
So early, like school year ends and I'm like shopping.
Because also
their body's going to change over the summer.
I know their body's going to change over the summer.
Yeah. But yeah. They have these little buttons inside where they've got this like elastic thing, and it says that, like, you know, it's like there for extending or tightening. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed that before. They don't do anything. They don't do anything in either direction. I don't understand them, unless I'm doing it wrong. Anyone, please write into me and tell me that I'm doing it wrong. But I just can't make that fit. That just doesn't work. And yeah. It just kind of makes the whole thing just a bit kind of exhausting mentally. And yeah, economically, it's not great.
Yeah. And the time part as well, right? The cost part, but the time part in having to think so far in advance. And you were talking to me as well, Tamsin, about your daughter. Was it girl? I want to say girl brigade, girl guiding.
Yeah,
and how uniforms are mandatory.
Yeah,
they're not mandatory.
You have to have the whole thing, but there's also another implication. Like if her, like there's a, they only go up to a certain size. We're very close to that size, and it makes me fearful of like what's next. Like when I reach that top, what's next? Because she has to have that specific uniform for two reasons. Like it has to be worn, but also her little group, they split them into sixes within the group. And within the group, if you're not in the full uniform, you lose points for your group. So your entire group is like, you've lost us points. Like points matter. They add up to certain, you know, nice things at the end and like things they can take part in. So it's, you know, for the kids, they're already learning, you know, I have to be in the right gear. I have to be wearing the right stuff. And you know, I don't know. We haven't reached that point yet, but it does. It's just something that's on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to your point, you have to, you're instantly thrust into this role of, you know, having to be an advocate in a lot of ways. You're sort of, in addition to all the other things, now you are probably going to have to be the one that reaches out and says, your sizing for your uniforms is not inclusive. You require it. There are points for being appropriately uniformed, but you don't make them in the sizes that all children need.
Yeah.
And then, that's hard enough to find sort of the words and the courage to sort of do that. And then you don't know what the response is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, and I'm thinking too.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. I'm thinking too hard to get allies, right?
Yeah.
To find allies to help you with that cause, because unless you are the parent of a plus size kid, and even if you are, that's not to say that your anti-fat bias has been addressed in any way, right? You can still have plus size parents with plus size kids that are extremely fat phobic, but also you could maybe have thin friends with thin children and trying to get them on board, because we need those allies, right? To help change. It's all about numbers. And unfortunately the labor is always on the marginalized, right? So it's a tough gig. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what I was going to say. I think I was going to say like, it's for me being, I mean, I think in my mind, I think, well, I'm in this kind of like, I'm in this business. I'm in amongst it. I know exactly what to say, and I would know how to kind of approach this, but that doesn't always mean that I feel like I can. There's a couple of times I've, you know, got into a thread talking to, Body Happy Org. I was talking to Molly on a thread about, you know, wanting to go and talk to the school. And like, as soon as I start thinking about talking to the school about something that they're doing, which is completely like against like everything, every fiber in my soul, I can just diminish into like a small child and think, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that today. Like, it's a lot to think about. Like, you've got to go to the headmaster and you've got to talk about this and you've got to talk about that. You know, we were talking about the weighing and measuring programs for kids and opting kids out. And yeah. And yeah, fearing what they're going to say. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
The fact that they are going to judge me and my body because I'm going in there advocating for my child. And there's a lot going on. And I think, you know, it would be silly to get into it now. But I just think for parents, it can be really hard to like take that step, and it's all on you. And like you say, that's only if you've unpacked your own stuff, and you might actually not have. And be thinking, yeah, like my child's body is the problem, or I am the problem as the parent, or I'm doing something wrong, or, you know, there's the pressure of family as well. Like who can be concerned trolling how you're bringing up your kids.
Yeah. Apparently such a reflection of your parenting skills, isn't it? Like, yeah. Could you, Pam, tell us a bit more then about your brand, and you said that tomorrow you're picking up the first shipping. What then from that point, what's it looking like from that point forward in terms of getting this collection out into the world, and even beyond that, like what do you hope in terms of, is this I suppose what I'm interested in is this a purely kind of commercial venture, or is it all also a kind of activist venture, or do the two go hand in hand?
So I'll try to answer
lots of questions. Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. So for now, I will have the first production run. It's going to be sold directly from my website, embernace.com. And I want to get the clothes onto kids. I want to get feedback. I want to see, you know, how close are we on all of our sizing? Because I have five sizes. I've gone all the way up to a 4X for kids 4X, which mm-hmm. is two sizes larger than I think you can find anywhere currently in the United States. Wow. But did I get it right? Did we get, yeah. It's not going to be perfect, but did we get as close as we could to sort of nailing down some of the lengths of sleeves and things of that nature? So, and then from that point, there's so many things. Obviously, expanding the line, expanding to, you know, ship internationally beyond the United States and Canada. And for me, you know, when I think about, yes, this is a business, but when I think about, you know, my vision, what is that I want to see in the world? I want a thriving global community of plus size kids. Mm-hmm. And that this is a piece of that puzzle for me. And, you know, when you talk about activism, I definitely feel like that's a huge part of what I'm doing. And I think I've sort of latched onto trying to solve a piece of the puzzle that I feel equipped to solve. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, you know, even if we get to the point where we're pushing back on anti-fat bias and diet culture and all of it, there's still going to be big kids that don't have anything to wear if I don't make clothing for them, because no one else is doing it. And I'll be the first to say, if there is a large athletic wear brand that wants to jump into the deep end of the pool and make a bunch of plus size kids athletic wear, I will get out of the way and I will applaud you doing it. And I will find another problem to solve, because mm-hmm. there's plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do see it as, you know, I always say, I encourage, you know, parents of plus size kids or even plus size teenagers, everybody reach out, because I do think we need to build a community of parents of plus size kids, because I think it's one of the hardest things I've ever done is just the way that we treat people that have children in bigger bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. We talk about community a lot and like having that support and that understanding, because it can be quite a lonely place, especially if you're like navigating it with only half, you know, the kind of information in your mind. Like, you know, you might not have kind of ever thought that it isn't your fault. And sometimes, you know, when you get to that point, you're like, oh, actually, hang on a minute. This is largely genetic, or it's whatever the reason is, like, not, I'm not actually doing anything wrong. My kids are just existing.
And they are not wrong.
Society. Right. We feel that freedom for ourselves when we get to that point and think, oh, okay, my body is not the problem. But as a parent, when you just want to do the best for your kids, like when you've got community of people who can help you kind of have those discussions about, you know, being an ally for your children, and how do you go about that, and people who've maybe trodden the path before or have some tips and things they can share, and it's so empowering for people. Yeah. I think that's really, really important.
And I'm guessing that's how your company is gonna get known, right? Because I think the anti-diet community is strong and growing, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm so glad to have come across your work. I'm so happy that you've come on to talk about it today. And yeah, your name and your company is going to be doing the rounds, and all the kind of fat and anti-diet communities. So I hope that's how you grow. I hope it's really successful. I hope that you venture beyond athletic wear and you show them how it's done. Because I've had it explained to me, but I still don't understand what the problem is when it comes to big manufacturers doing, like is it money, is it bias, is it just
both?
Yes and yes.
Like, yes and yes.
What is it? Really frustrating. So we are behind you, and I really hope that it's hugely wildly successful, because So many kids are going to benefit from it. So thank you. Can you tell us, when I say us, I mean everyone listening,
the world,
how we can all support you? What's, you know, where can we find you? And if you're in the States or in Canada, when and how can you order?
Okay. So yes, the best thing for folks to do is head to emberandace.com. And you can subscribe to the newsletter, which is where I will be sending out official updates when the inventory is ready to ship and sort of people can come online and order. You can also give us a follow on Instagram. It's the only social media platform that I'm currently on because mm-hmm. social media is a lot. Yeah. And, you know, help spread the word, let folks know, you know, that we exist and, you know, please do reach out. I do want folks to sort of share what's going on and, you know, things that I haven't thought about because I obviously have only so much lived experience with my life and in my child. And, but yeah, so, and like I said, we'll be shipping in the United States and Canada for this first round. And then we'll sort of see, we'll see where things go from there.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we're excited to get this episode out into the world.
Thank you both.